field at home. It's a sure win, right? Sherwin Williams.
Punch me in the face, please.
My Lord!
I'm trying to go deep here.
Yo doesn't have a doghouse. He has a left winger next to Koivu.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Booga booga, i.e. poopy diapers.
And he can't score the puck if he can't shoot the goal.
It's been known to the state of California to cause cancers.
Well, this is the fanciest setup I've ever seen for a goddamn podcast with 50 listeners.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 61 of Three in the Box, your doobie-doobie-doo Minnesota Wild Hockey Podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, February 15th, 2015. This is Aaron, and in this week's episode, we talk about more points, more injuries for the Wild, and trade deadline speculation. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Hey, hey.
So, how are you? How was your week for you guys?
Yeah, Valentine's week, running sound for, I won't say where or for what, but it was a nightmare.
Yeah?
Oh, man, I had to deal with in a really not fun group.
See, my wife left me on Valentine's Day. So.
Yeah, she did, for Vegas.
So I'm
showgirls out there.
I'm by my lonesome with my dogs.
Did you check your?
I've actually got the making of a country song in this last weekend here.
Have you checked your Google downloads? Make sure there was no like 50 Shades of Grey on there.
Oh, I think she was actually going to see that this weekend. And I was like, I heard it was really bad.
Check out our new country band, Beer Can.
Beer can.
50 Shades of Beer Can.
Thank you for the Hallmark holiday. Yep. You know, a little banter.
It's been an eventful week, I'll say, on my end. So, but I'm glad to be here and talk some hockey.
No doubt. Yeah. Well, before we get into the hockey talk, I would just like to remind you, follow us on Twitter. We're at Three in the Box. We will occasionally call you out if you post a screenshot with an ugly font.
We don't have to worry about her listening.
We don't care if you're a teenager. We'll apparently assault you verbally on Twitter for your poor font choices. So follow us there. And aside from our font discussion, we also talk about in the Wild games. And
There's hockey.
Yeah, there's hockey. Yeah. We talk about Kevin Gorg being the K-train. A little different than the Fon train, but or as LaPanta said, much slower than the Fon train. Yeah. Regardless of the amount of volume coming out of there. So with that, I think we'll start talking about the Wild Week, right? So as we talked about, the points keep on coming. The Wild pick up 7 out of 8 points this week, going 3-0-1 with home wins against Canucks, Panthers, and Hurricanes. And an overtime road loss against Winnipeg, so that's another point. Unfortunately, it means Winnipeg gets 2 points, but...
Well, we were at least didn't lose much ground on them.
Not as much as it could have been, I guess. I mean...
Things could have been worse.
Could have been worse.
Yeah.
Yo hasn't stopped going to Dubnyk as well, going to the Dubnyk well. He's now started 13 straight. He'll start 14 tomorrow, as it's been announced. He'll be starting tomorrow. Mm-hmm. In Vancouver, it's tough to argue with the results because obviously we're winning, so no one's going to be complaining.
Nobody's complaining when the wins keep coming in and you're putting points in the win column.
A month ago, people are like, fire Yo. Right. Now everyone's like, Yo is the greatest. Yo is the greatest.
How long have you lived in the state of Minnesota with the bandwagon fans all the time?
Is it bandwagon or are we just manic?
Well, so. It is winter in Minnesota, so, so manic just kind of happens.
Yeah, it's not fair weather.
No.
So, like I was saying, it's tough to argue with the results. The Wild have totally dug themselves out of the hole. But are either of you two worried about Yo running Dubs into the ground?
A little bit because he just from past experiences, that has happened where it's like ride the hot hand, but you can ride the hot hand until you burn yourself.
You can, but and I do worry about that some. You know, I'd hate to see like an injury or something come about here. But what you do have to look at though is when a goalie is riding a hot streak, you don't want to take him. Don't take him out so he can sit and get cold.
Are you saying that Yo has actually had the wrong approach? Because usually it goes, we ride that goalie until he loses a game, and then we switch it and ride that goalie until he loses the game, and we do that. He's done that actually pretty much his whole time in Minnesota. Dubnyk's lost a game. He was pulled from a game, and we came back to him the next game, and it's been clear sailing. Right. You know, maybe it's a matter of Yo hasn't really given his goalies enough time to hang themselves.
Yeah,
you know, playing the hot hand all the time. You're going to lose a lot of games like that if you're just always playing the hot hand, because eventually they're going to lose and become cold.
Somebody's got to lose.
Right.
And then you end up with two cold goalies.
Right. So. Right.
Well, and right now, at least with the schedule kind of coming up in the foreseeable future, there's not a whole ton of back-to-back or heavy travel days.
True.
You know, so you can at least get him some rest time in between these games.
Sure.
So from that standpoint, I mean, I'm not a big fan of Yo riding the hot hand like that with the goalies. I mean, because you want to give your backup some work, especially, you know, if your backup was your starter at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a good point, though. So do you think it would be a good idea to give Kemper some starts just so he's fresh in case something happens to Dubnyk, you know? I mean,
this is Minnesota hockey where we tend to go through goalies like
that's what practice is for, though, right?
No, well, I mean you can only get so much at practice,
right?
Unless your teammates don't like you and they, you know, they throw your track suit in the shower, well, or shoot pucks at you at 300 miles an hour.
Well, you know, I also think it's a bit of more of a modern invention of having to split time between goalies, mm-hmm. and give goalies more than
all this rest time,
and, right? Yeah. But it's like, goalies only play half the game.
Yeah.
They're not skating around and just, you know, burning up calories.
At most. And then, I mean, even some games, like with the way the Wild have been playing, Dubnyk hasn't even seen that many shots.
Right.
The D has just been shutting down the power play, the penalty kill unit has just been shutting down everybody.
25 straight now?
Something like that. Yeah, it's something insane. Yeah.
Knocking on wood. Let's keep that streak going.
Jive hasn't had his Valentine's date yet. Sorry.
Our mics are attached to it?
Boy.
We're not going down this rabbit hole right now. As per previous conversations, we don't know where this is going to end. And this could turn into a rated X show.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
This is one of the few shows where we've recorded... We're starting just a little right around 1 a.m., so this is a pretty rare occurrence here in itself.
So what was the question, Aaron?
Dubnyk. Should we play Kemper to keep him fresh?
You know,
or is that just like old man, or new old man? Because you know, go back to the 80s, goalies are playing, you know,
yeah,
a ton
almost
of time.
The whole season if you're a good if you were healthy.
Yeah, right. Well, absolutely. You know, I think I'm pretty sure we've talked about this before, that most teams are going to have to start going to a two-goalie situation or splitting the time more evenly just because of some of the stuff.
But they don't do that. But they don't do that during the playoffs.
No, you're right.
The teams that lose are the ones who are flipping goalies around.
Right.
So usually, you know, from what I've seen is, by the time the playoffs roll around, you kind of have your hot goalie that is going to be leading you into the playoffs at that point.
Well, that said, I mean, don't you got your guy that you're just going to go
right
with?
Right now, I don't think the Wild have a choice right now. As much as I don't like it, right now he's getting the wins, and they definitely need him if they're going to even try to get wild card chance right now.
And see, I'm gonna change it up, and I'm going to say I like it. I like the fact that they're riding one goalie. I mean, this isn't baseball where you're going to blow out your elbow if they pitch more than once every 5 days. You know, he's there to stop pucks. Unless he's hurting and feels he needs a day off.
Right.
You know, why don't you let him dictate what the starting is?
Think about all the skaters that go every game.
And they're going.
They're going.
They're just standing there waiting for pucks to come to them.
Yeah. You know, they're also conditioned differently than the goalies are, too.
This is true. But, you know, there's not to say that we can't have a goalie that actually has some proper conditioning. I mean, I think it says more about the other goalies than it does says about Dubnyk, you know?
You know, well, yeah, I don't know. Ride him for right now. I mean, obviously.
So it sounds like you're falling back to ride him while he's hot.
I am right now just because the schedule isn't so hectic. I mean, it's not like you're playing him back-to-back games where he's, you know.
Is the schedule ever really that hectic? I mean,
we're talking
last week, yeah, they had four games. I mean, how many days a week do you work?
Well, it's not like they're just sitting around with their thumbs up their butt on the days off, you know.
But either am I, you know?
Fair enough.
Sometimes I got on-call duties. Well,
I'm not going to judge if you are.
This morning on a Sunday morning, you know, off goes the phone, and oh, crap, I got a call, you know? So, I mean, you know, we all have our stuff, and sometimes you got to do a little extra. And I don't think it's that too much to ask of a goalie to you know, be there game in and game out. That said, though, you don't want to overexert them. You don't want to end up with an injury that ends up costing you more games. So you do have to be careful,
right?
But I don't see anything wrong with showing confidence in your goalie and sticking with him. You know,
I say as long as he stays healthy, doesn't get injured, he's still playing good. Just because of our track record, play him until 2 weeks before the end of the season. And then put Kemper in there, so when the goalie's going to get hurt, it's not going to be Dubnyk.
Because it's been now a couple years in a row, hasn't it, where we've had...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we need to... I can agree with that, too, though. You know, Kemper needs to be at least sprinkled in there some. Or, I mean, I know it's not an option now to really send him back down for any more... conditioning stints.
Maybe just do the smart thing and go, okay, this date on the calendar,
yeah,
that's gonna be a Kemper start.
Yeah.
Come hell or high water, doesn't matter what Dubnyk did the night before.
Yeah.
Kemper starting this night.
Yeah.
And you stick with it, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe outside of a shutout or something like that, or you know, something
or a
crazy.
Or a complete blowout,
you know. I mean, it goes either way, but.
Yeah, and maybe, why not during a complete blowout? Why can't you do, what the NFL teams do, you know? You got a 30-point lead in the fourth quarter. Let's get some of the backup guys.
You're saying
guys
a blowout in the other way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So while they're way ahead, you know, or I guess, getting
we haven't seen a lot of those, but there's been a couple of those games lately. That was last night's game, was it not?
6-3.
I mean, that's, right. You know, that's...
Well, 5-3 with an empty netter.
Right, yeah. Right. And it was actually closer than the score
led
you to believe,
yeah,
just because of how poor the Wild did it in the second period. Yeah. I mean, I think they've been killing teams in the first period. In the second period, they've been, I mean, at best, like, even in the second period. Yeah. And that's the part that scares me a little bit, actually.
Because that kind of puts you on your heels come third, because now the other team's got the momentum going.
Exactly.
But we have also been finishing games, you know.
They have.
Pretty strong.
So. They have, and that's always a good thing, because you're always, you know, we always talk about, you know, back in the Lemaire days.
Right.
You know. With the momentum that some of these teams have coming to the third, you'd be in the Lemaire days, you'd have been like, oh crap, you know,
ducking and juking and jiving, looking for something. And yeah, you're just basically trying to avoid, you know,
just avoid
the inevitable, and boom, there's a goal.
And you see that a little bit even today, you know, but I don't think the Wild are, you know,
any different than any other team.
Exactly. I mean, they're doing the same thing where you get a lead and you're just trying to protect it. You're not trying to blow the other team out. You're just trying to say, okay, I'm not going to burn myself
up. Make sure you keep in front.
Yeah.
Make sure you don't let anybody get the easy breakaways, you know. You don't take any unnecessary chances, basically. So.
But they still do it because, you know, this team is actually pretty young. I mean, with the exception of the few star veterans we've got around, you know, especially with injuries to like Carter and, you know, Cook and Cook, whatnot. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of the injuries.
right.
Yeah. We got, let's see here. Ballard and Cook, they're still out. And then we added Zucker and Carter earlier this week. They got added to the list. We lost them in the game against the Canucks. Zucker, they're...
Another reason to hate the Canucks.
Right. So Zucker, it looks like he's going to be out for 3 months. They had to have some surgery done for a broken clavicle.
Collarbone.
Yeah, right. That's
always comfortable.
Right.
We won't see him for a while.
Yeah. I mean, we'll get lucky if we're in the playoffs and he comes back in the playoffs at this point.
Which is very unfortunate, too. I mean, he is our, you know, second leading scorer on the Wild at this point.
He was having a breakout season. I mean, before the season, he was one of those guys where you're like, oh, maybe we should cut bait with him because he's not really figuring things out. And
he's got it figured out.
He's got it figured out now, you know.
So. And that's being, as mainly like a... Sometimes second liner, mainly third liner.
right.
I wouldn't complain about that.
No.
But beyond Zucker, we also lost Carter. They're saying he's going to be out about a month. An undisclosed upper body injury, but I think they're saying something with his shoulder maybe.
That's what I think Russo was speculating was a shoulder type injury.
So, and a little bit better news, though, on the injury front. Keith Ballard was seen out on the ice today. It was an optional practice for the Wild. And I saw a quote him saying after that he felt good out there. So that's positive.
All right.
The last time we saw him skate was in that December 9th game when he went out against the Islanders.
Matt Martin.
Yeah, that was...
Bastard.
Ballard says he has no hard feelings over that, I guess. But
it's because he doesn't remember the hit.
I guess I might not feel the same towards him. So it is good to see that, you know, I mean, Ballard's getting started back up on the ice. But do you think, like, a return anytime now or soon would be good after, like, all those facial fractures and the concussion? I mean, I know... There's, you know, in all sports, there's, you know, the talks about the concussions and what it can do to you later on in life.
The CTE.
Yeah. I mean, do you guys think it's even a good idea for him to think about returning to the game right now?
I'm going to still say there's no chance to return this year. I mean, I don't doubt that Ballard's a tough son of a gun and that, you know, he could if he wanted to. But at this point, I mean, let's be honest.
Is it worth it?
Right. This team is clicking right now. And while you want to see him come back and you want him to see him healthy, I don't think he's going to be healthy. I mean, he hasn't played in, what, 2 months, I think we were talking about.
December 9th.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a long time since he played. He's going to be a little out of hockey shape at this point.
Yeah.
I don't see he's going to come back.
He even said it after it happened. I mean, he's not going to take any chances anymore. He wants to raise his family.
Right.
And I mean, you know, you get another injury like that and that could be, you know, not just career ending, career ending on top of it, but possibly just messing you up mentally for the rest of your life.
Right.
There's got to be some value. I mean, you're getting paid millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. You're doing it not for in the moment. You're doing it so the rest of your life you can have a nice...
You're going to be comfortable.
Nice and comfortable, you know. Right. And it's not good. You're going to be throwing that all at the door, you know, if you with another brain injury.
Right, yeah. You got to be careful with that. So, I mean, with that, with all the talks about the injuries, I mean... We may need to make some moves. I mean,
I mean, we got the trade deadline come up, you know, March 2nd. That's coming up real quick here. So we got to start wondering if GM Chuck Fletcher, GMCF, as I've seen online, is GMCF. We got to remember, think if GMCF is going to make any moves. You know, we saw this week the first real blockbuster trade, and that involved the Jets sending the much maligned, you know, tracksuit in the shower, Vander Kane and Bogosian to Buffalo for Tyler Myers and Drew Stafford and a first-round draft pick.
First-round pick.
So I mean, I think everyone, no one will disagree with the potential that Kane has, Evander Kane has.
But Bogosian's no slouch either.
He isn't. He's a big body. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But should the Wild be concerned about this trade? You know, does this create distance between the Wild and the Jets as far as talent goes, at least this season?
You know, I think it's good for the Wild. I think especially with the Jets being so close in competition with us for a wild card spot, that they just lost some pretty big talent right there. Although, I mean, maybe for the Jets it's a good thing, because, I mean, obviously there was some bad blood.
And Kane was hurt anyway, so he wasn't hurt enough not to play, but he had an injury and opted for surgery.
How do you do surgery on a bruised ego?
Very carefully.
All right. So, I mean, I guess I would be more concerned, you know, I guess in the future. I mean, a first-round pick is definitely always a nice addition.
I think Buffalo had, like, 3 first-round draft picks, so
yeah.
They traded one of their 3.
Right.
Well, they're
and it was their worst of their 3 number one picks.
They're in rebuild mode right now, though. Oh, I mean, totally, everybody knows it.
Yeah. And plus, if Kane figures things out, that's going to be really great for Buffalo. I mean,
they've got a young enough player that can be solid and maybe eventually possibly turn into a leader on that team.
He grows up a little bit, you know, maybe
wears a suit to the team meeting instead of a track suit.
Maybe he'll Heatley it and figure things out.
Oh.
Sorry, I had that attached to somehow. So.
More rim shots. They're all over the place.
What are you saying? He needs to go drink some Bacardi and drive around with Eric Bogosian or Zach Bogosian?
But, I mean, that said, I don't think, you know, talent-wise, I mean, Kane is a pretty good pickup, I would say, for Buffalo. Otherwise, it is kind of a wash.
I don't know. I think the Jets won this. They won it this year, and with that first round draft pick
into the future.
It's hard to not look at Buffalo and go, "You guys got hosed here."
Yeah.
Who's running your organization?
Well,
I mean, if Kane turns things around, I think Kane is going to be the better of all those people. You know. That being said,
and who knows? Maybe Kane isn't even bound for the Buffalo. Maybe they've got other plans to move him even elsewhere.
Yeah, maybe.
That's happened.
Well,
but if you're rebuilding, why not rebuild with a younger guy like Kane who could be turning things around, you know?
Look at how many trades Buffalo made at coming up to the deadline last year, though. I mean, Buffalo the past couple of years is just like, yeah, we'll just like let these players stay somewhat fresh in our organization, and then we'll toss them off to you if you're willing.
Yeah. Well, you know, so with all this being said, you know, last week, you know, we went over our needs at the trade deadline here. Have your opinions changed at all with injuries to Zucker and Carter? I think, Kenny, I think you said that we should just stay pat and let our kids come up and,
I'm still agreeing with that. I mean, I don't, who's out there right now for trade bait that would be able to fill Zucker's spot right now?
You know, I look at someone like Sakara, who we saw just last night. You know, a nice physical forward that we could, you know, actually use. I know former guest Tony Dean pointed out that we could use a right shot D because we got left shot Ds to no end.
Right.
You know, maybe we get someone for that third pairing as a right shot D, you know. And hopefully someone that's a little more physical. But that you're limiting it. That list gets really short real quick.
The Wild aren't going to be the only teams looking at these people either. Right.
But if you know, but Sakara, I know that they're having trouble picking, wrapping him up for next year. So he seems like a person that could really be on the list.
And I think that I mentioned last week we probably could use another forward, somebody, you know, kind of maybe in between like a third and second line type guy.
Right.
Somebody who's willing to get a little bit physical. That can maybe put some pucks in the net. And I think with the couple of injuries that we just sustained over the week, I think that emphasizes the point because, you know, now we're looking at Cook, Zucker, and Carter being out right now. And, you know, those are three good guys that kind of, I mean, Carter is mainly probably your third line guy, but I mean, he's got enough talent where if he needed to fill in on the second line, I think that he could do the job there. But definitely Zucker and Cook, I mean, those are bodies that are going to be missed at this point right now. And, you know, we've got to do something to fill those holes, obviously. I'd hate to say luckily before that these injuries happened before the trade deadline, but luckily it did, because, you know, now we can still make maybe some sort of a move for that.
So, all right, well, speaking of moves, I guess, Veyu got called up from Iowa this past week, and he played in his 500th NHL game against the Panthers. So
500
NHL games.
It's hard to believe a player that borderline can get that many games in the NHL.
He's borderline, but he's, for most of his career, though, he's been more of a solid, you know, third liner.
Yeah, but he's been on a team. He was here during the Lemaire days.
He was. He also was on Colorado for some years there.
Yeah, but think of all the guys that came through during the Lemaire days.
Yeah.
And how a lot of those were, you know, borderline talent, you know.
There was a lot of mediocrity there.
One guy I just looked up recently because I was curious what happened to him. Like Aaron Voros.
Oh, ooh, yeah.
Yeah, he hasn't done crap. I mean, he's out of the league now, but, you know, that's the kind of guy that kind of cycled through. And there's no reason that Veyu couldn't have ended up like one of those guys, you know? I'm surprised he had 500. That's pretty impressive, actually, you know?
I mean, he was obviously showing some sort of worth to these teams. I mean, I don't hear that Veyu is called up, and I don't, like... I'm not cringing. I'm not worried about that spot.
But is that the devil you know?
I'm not expecting, you know, the world from him, but I expect a solid performance and, you know, being in position where you need to be, and maybe once in a while, you know, tossing a puck in the net. I don't know. I got no qualms with his career. I mean, well, I respect him as a player.
Was it 105 points in 501 games?
Okay, as a third liner.
Or fourth.
Or fourth sometimes.
Well, how's this for perspective? Brodziak is coming up on 600.
And how many points does Brodziak have?
A lot more.
A lot more?
A lot more. Yeah.
But, you know, Veyu also got called up the same draft that Koivu did. They were both drafted by the Wild in 2001.
222 points for Brodziak, by the way. There
you go. Right. So he's, you know, about a third.
One every three games, yeah.
One every three games.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
Veyu's one every five games, so.
Yeah. For a third or fourth liner.
Okay, well, how did Brodziak get to 600 games? Oh, yeah, he's employed by the Wild.
Right. And he was playing probably second line sometime there, huh?
He was.
Last year, right? Was that last year?
I think 2 years ago, he was. Maybe two or three years ago, he was top line at one point.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in 2011-2012, he's averaging 19 minutes a game. That's first line
time. That's first line time. Or a lot of power play, penalty kill.
Wow. Yes, ouch.
So, do you guys think any other players, current Wild players, will make it to 500 games?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Because we got a lot of kids.
Yeah.
And a lot of kids, I think, I know me and you were discussing this earlier in the night, and...
I can be sure Zucker will be there someday.
Well, someday. Will you hit 500 with the Wild, though?
I don't know if it'll be with the Wild.
Kind of flips the question around is, what players in the Wild today you think we'll still be here for game 500? And that's a tough one.
Do you think it'll be a Wild player or somebody that they pull in will hit 500 games first?
There'll probably be someone we pull. Well, maybe not. Maybe, I mean,
Oh, we had questions galore with too many answers.
Oh, you're trying to ask who's going to get there next, huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, it could be a kid, you know, because I think we looked at...
Spurgeon and Scandella.
Spurgeon's at 270. Scandella's like around 220.
They're right, yeah, somewhere in those general ballparks.
You know, so for Spurgeon, that's going to be, what, another three seasons about?
Give or take. Possibly, you know, shorten some of those with some playoff. I don't know, do the playoffs count for the games played?
Nope.
So it's just regular season games.
Just regular season games, yeah. You know,
the playoffs is its own season.
Well, I guess the thing is, do we think Spurgeon will be here in three seasons? Or Scandella in four?
Well, that's three seasons playing healthy every game.
Right.
So let's say logically four.
You got to figure that those two are going to be part of something longer term, you know? I mean,
but then again, part of a bigger trade.
Or part of a trade. I mean, that's the thing is, I think Scandella's going to be here for a long time. I mean, he could be like Brent Burns and be like a key block in another trade. But that's the only way I see him.
We still got hosed on that deal.
There's no way that we're going to just let him go, I don't think. You know?
Yeah, let's not trade Scandella for like a... Was that Heatley? No, no. It was Heatley and Havlat, and it was... who was the other one that came up in that one that we got?
Well, we got him for Coil and Setoguchi, right?
Oh, Setoguchi, yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one still pains me.
I think I'd...
Where's Setoguchi now?
Is he even in the league? I don't even know if he's in the league.
He's in the league.
Europe, maybe?
Right. That was a bad trade, I think.
Let's not do that with Scandella.
No, right. That would be a bad idea. You can add that to the list of bad trades that GMCF has made, so...
That was one of his first years, wasn't it?
It was. Well, no, it was early. It was a couple of years in, but you know, yeah. So you got Setoguchi, Coil, and Zach Phillips,
which he didn't really.
He isn't turning into anything.
No. So Coil is about the only.
And I gotta say, Brent Burns is way better than Charlie Coil.
I would prefer to have Brent Burns over Charlie Coil. Right. Essentially, that's what that trade was Brent Burns for Charlie Coil.
And a couple years of rental of Setoguchi. But we flipped Setoguchi for, who did we get from, we actually flipped Setoguchi.
Yeah, that's right, we did.
And did we get draft picks for him? We did. We got a fourth round choice for him. Whoop-de-doo.
So, well... Let's stop talking about the past. Let's talk about the future.
Right. Yeah, what do we got coming up?
So while they're heading back to Canada for another West Canada road trip, this time in reverse order from, was it 2 weeks ago, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
I'm stupid, I'm Canadian, and I love cigarettes.
This time we're starting in Vancouver against the Canucks, then heading to Calgary against the Flames, followed by the Oilers. By the way, those are all actually spaced one day apart, so it's Monday... Tomorrow, later today, I guess. Wednesday and then Friday.
And then Sunday, they're
home on Sunday against Dallas.
They're all one day apart.
So
or 2 days, whatever you want to
look one on, one off, one on, one off. That's not a bad tour schedule.
No.
So what do you guys think? Can the Wild pull off another West Canada sweep like last time?
Considering they hadn't done it since, what, 2007? Asking for it twice in a year.
Nope.
That's what I'm gonna say. would I love them to win and sweep? Sure. I don't think it's gonna happen.
Well, there's some very important games coming up, especially against Calgary, and possibly Vancouver, because Vancouver and Calgary are both, I think, sitting at 65 points.
They're both in front of us. I mean, and they're both important wins. I mean,
which. Obviously, for the division, one or the other, we can't get into. But if, say, both of them happen to drop off and somebody else picks up, we're going to need those points on both of those teams.
Well, yeah, I mean, we are. We need them to lose regardless. I mean, they're not in the top three, so they're not, you know, Chicago or Nashville or St. Louis. So we need all of the teams to lose. It doesn't matter where they are, what division they're in. We need them to lose, and we need to beat them.
And, I mean, Edmonton is kind of a throwaway as far as standings go, but we need the points to advance.
Points help.
And as we found out last night, you know, even though it's a team that we should just roll over.
It doesn't always happen.
It doesn't always happen like that. They're going to probably have some fight in them. And
These are all NHL teams, and they all come to play every night.
So, right, right.
There's a reason why they play the games. So, yep. And I guess my idea on that is I'd have to agree with you, Aaron, that, you know, I don't know that they can pull off another sweep out there. They're definitely on a nice streak here. And I'm going to hope that they, you know, can pull out, you know, a good, you know, 5.
No, that's what she said that one. I was holding it in and I looked at Aaron and I, yeah.
Why do those jokes have to go against me?
Because you're the one who was pulling out or black bear out.
That's what she said.
Anyways, I'm gonna have to go with you, Aaron, that they probably won't pull this off again. I'm going to hope that they are able to gain, like, you know, 5, maybe 6 points, you know, find a few wins out that way.
Out of a possible 8, you're hoping for 5 or 6?
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see what we can do out there, but a couple wins and, an overtime loss or an overtime win. I think I'd be satisfied with that.
And you're hoping if they have to have one overtime loss, it's against the Oilers, because that doesn't
matter.
That's points that don't matter to them.
But those are points that we should have.
It is.
Well, yeah. You know, you can't, like you just said, you can't count on anything, though. And I mean, you know, and honestly, Dallas on Sunday, Dallas is only 3 points behind us right now.
Right.
They're going to be fighting for the same thing.
It's all very tight right now, and everyone's fighting for those last points, you know?
That's what she said.
Right now, the highest wild card is Winnipeg with 68, but that's only because the rest of the division is just absolutely stomping with Nashville, St. Louis, and Chicago. You know, you look at the Pacific, though, you got San Jose, Vancouver, both at 66 and 65 points, respectively. Calgary's also at 65 points.
And basically, Calgary and Vancouver are tied. Calgary's actually has an extra game. Yeah.
And then below that, looking at the outside, is the Wild with 63, LA with 62, Dallas with 60, Colorado maybe even with 57, but they're going to be a little farther down.
Right.
But they're still going to have some fight in them.
They're close enough where, you know, after this Wild run, you go, you know, Colorado's really not out of it. You know, the only two teams that are really out of it are Arizona and Edmonton.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I mean, and Dallas, you know, at 60 points right now, if the Wild happen to lose to Dallas in regulation, if they were playing tomorrow night, that would put Dallas 1 point behind them.
I do believe, Will, we did see that the Wild's playoff chances have improved, though. Am I correct?
Yeah, 52-something%. You know. Yeah,
so. Just to make the playoffs.
Yep. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're coming, that's for sure, you know.
Yep. We won't worry about that quite yet, but they're going to be there. Let's have some positive attitude.
It's only a matter of time.
Send some positive vibes.
We still had a lot. There's still a lot of hockey to be played, you know.
There is. With that said, should we get into the game of the week?
Let's do it. So last week, I think I picked the game of the week. It was Wild at the Jets. And there's only one person who picked the Jets to win, and that was Kenny.
Yep.
And he actually picked the points straight on.
I'm coming for you, man.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Yeah, that's me. So now I'm in sole possession of last place. That means I get to pick the game week yet again and potentially for the foreseeable future.
Well, look at how fast this is changing around.
I know.
You get a couple of wins with the correct amount of points and you move up awfully quick.
So are you saying that you're the Wild?
Oh, maybe.
Anyway, I'm picking the game of the week, and I'm picking the Wild at Flames. I figure that's a game that, you know,
that's going to be a meaningful game.
It's going to be meaningful. It's going to be kind of a toss-up. Yeah. I mean, The Wild are on the road, so that's not a sure win.
Last time they played, it was a 1-0 game. I mean, that's...
right.
You know,
the crazy thing is, though, is they're actually winning in the Saddle Dome, though? Or they kind of have been over the past couple of years?
Back in the saddle again?
Whereas previously, like, especially the Lemaire days...
Previously.
Previously
on Three in the Box.
Yeah, but
if we ever do a multi-part show, we should do that.
Yes.
Reprise?
What? Previously on Three in the Box.
Previously.
A reprise.
Reprise?
Parisi does it.
This isn't easy.
We just all need to kind of suit her down and get this show finished.
Doobie doobie doo.
Oh.
Where are you?
We have
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
We cannot start recording after midnight anymore. Seriously.
After midnight.
Sorry.
We're going to let it all hang down.
Uh-oh.
Although we got a couple bald-headed guys and one not much hair up there.
Wow, I don't even know where your line of discussion is going here.
Well, you said we're going to let it all hang down.
You said that, not me.
Down? I thought you said hang out. Oh, shit. I got to zip up my pants again.
All right. Okay. Yes, this needs to end now.
Game of the week. So I'm picking Wild of the Flames. We'll start with Jive since he's the leader.
All right. I'm going to go with the Flames winning this one, actually. I think that it'll be a very tight game, similar to the 1-0 game previously between the Wild and the Flames just a week or so ago.
Right.
Unfortunately, I mean, this is the one that I probably would have to guess. So go into like maybe overtime and we'll have an overtime loss in. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Flames. So 3 goals.
Okay.
You know, they did it last time. I think they're going to do it again. I'm going with the Wild with 4. I foresee a 2-1 game with an empty netter.
All right. I'm going with the Flames as well. I think if I look at the schedule this next week, that's the one I'm a little worried about while on the road against the Flames. I think Kenny makes a good point, though. They've had good luck at the Saddle Dome. But I don't. If I'm going to pick a game that they're going to lose this week, it's going to be this one. I feel too confident against the Canucks. So I'm going to go with the Wild losing, and I'm going to go with 5 points total. So
this week, we're going to try something new.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. I think we need to start having a trivia question.
All right.
What do you guys think? And that's not the actual question.
Oh. That mean I don't get any points for that?
No, not yet. But I think it's gonna be a good segment. This week is gonna be a little bit different. We're gonna give you the question and then give you the answer. But I think for following weeks, we want your participation too. So
yeah,
we'll ask for their answer right now.
Yeah, yeah, that won't work. We're not live. Oh,
okay.
Anyways,
where's the?
Thank you. So this week, this will be our trial run to see how you guys do. And then, yeah, I think start getting some participation. Send us in your answers. We'll have some token prize of some sort.
Okay, so what's the question?
In honor of Dubnyk's awesome playing as of late, how many other Wild players have worn number 40? We need the Jeopardy theme right now.
I think I already saw the answer since he put it in the doc.
I did.
Did you see the answer, Jive? That's a yes.
All right, Aaron.
I didn't see any of the players, so I don't know the players. But I'm pretty sure I saw 3.
There have been 3 other Wild players that have worn number 40.
And what are the 3?
Chris Armstrong, defenseman, back in 2001.
In the regular season.
Danny Erman, a center from 2010, and Jed Ortmeier, a center from 2011. So Dubes is the only goalie that's worn 40. As a bonus, though, there is one other Minnesota hockey player, NHL player, that has worn 40. It was Dean Kolstad back in the 89-91 North Stars.
89-91?
He wore it in 89 and 91, but not 90, apparently. Okay. I'm guessing
90 somebody else had it, or
I'm guessing he was a call up and a call down, and that was his number. All right. I didn't look into it that much.
All right.
But so, yeah, I think next week we'll ask the question and then give you the answer the following week.
Yeah, I don't think many Wild fans are rocking Jed Ortmeier jerseys right now.
Or Danny Erman.
Mine's been collecting some dust in the closet.
Time to get the nameplate switched out, I think.
Right. Well, with Dubes around now, maybe I can.
Right.
He's a rental.
No, he's not. He's going to be signed.
You would think
so? No. I think so.
I would have to say so, too. With his performance now, he's not that old of a guy. He's still got some years left in him. So,
and he's I don't think he's going on vacations and not touching the ice during the off season like a certain Russian that we know.
Right.
Briz.
Humanga's big.
Okay, well, I think we've done this. It's now almost 1:30 in the morning. I think we're all about turning into pumpkins. So when I'm not live tweeting Wild Games for 3 in the Box, and that's at 3 in the Box.
You're playing on Twitter. A country band.
I'm playing a country band. Talking about my dogs and my wife leaving. Eating beefaroni out of a can.
Cold, or did you put the can directly on the stove?
You put the can right on the stove.
Do you have to open it first? I don't even know.
No, you just stick it in the microwave. It works good.
But when I'm not doing the tweeting for 3 in the Box, you can also find me on Twitter, and that's at Aaron3ITB. And I'm going to change things up a little, and I'm going to plug another band, and that's GNP. The project that I'm resurrecting with Kenny. Work will be starting on that soon here, and you will find more information on that at GNPHertz.com. Kenny.
Yeah, hey, Aaron, actually, didn't GNP do the original intro for 3 in the Box?
That would have been, yes, actually.
Yeah.
And our predecessor, Puckin' Drunk, also used that same theme song.
That's right.
So I don't know when we switched over, but I'm pretty sure it was in the single digits when we switched over.
Yeah, I think it was pretty early on.
Yeah, so we had a cover of the NES ice hockey theme song that used to be our intro, and that was GNP. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, well, as Aaron said, I mean, we'll be getting GMP going up again. You can follow me on Twitter at RottenK999. Some random audio and stupid trivia stuff, possibly, soon.
Jav.
Yeah. And when I'm not trying to get Aaron to play in a country band with me, you can just follow me on Twitter. I'm at Jav Midnight. Peace and have a good night.
Hello.